this Holy Spirit theme as we move toward Pentecost.
Next Sunday.
Yeah, Pentecost Sunday. Next Sunday. Wear red. Wear red. All wear red. Next Sunday. Pentecost Sunday.
Red.
Yeah, and if you have a red car, drive it here.
Sorry, my car's blue.
Yeah, Gregory can do that.
Yeah. And maybe do a couple loops off the horn. But, so we're continuing on with the theme of Holy Spirit. And we've looked at who is the Holy Spirit and various topics. Today we're going to look at, or the title of the pamphlet is Come Holy Spirit. When we say come Holy Spirit, we aren't usually fully prepared for what he might do when he does come. We shouldn't be mistaken in thinking he's not here with us always, because he will always be with us. He will never leave us and never forsake us. But asking him to come can be a dangerous prayer, and that we're asking him to do whatever it is he wants or needs to do. So when we say, come Holy Spirit, it's not something that we should take lightly. Because when Peter prayed for the Holy Spirit to come, Ananias and later Sapphira dropped dead.
Yep.
Because they had chosen to lie, not to men, but to the Holy Spirit. When we say, Holy Spirit, come, maybe it's when Peter saw Tabitha be raised from the dead, or when he saw his mother-in-law raised from sickness. All these different things that when we say, Holy Spirit, come, we need to be just open and understand He can shake up our world. He can rock us like we're not ready to be rocked. But he's never gonna, like with temptation and things around us, he's never gonna lay on us more than we can bear. He's never gonna allow that to happen more than we can bear. And when we think, oh my gosh, this is just so rough, I can't handle this, Holy Spirit, come, and we can see that it could get worse. Mm-hmm. You know, John Lennon responded in the when he and Paul McCartney were writing a song, It's Getting Better All the Time, and that was all the song was, you know, it's getting better all the time, it's getting better all the time. And then as they were running through the song, Lennon, being the comedic foil to a lot of McCartney's words, said, it can't get no worse. And that's true. No, it's not. Because Tammy and I, you know, being in this relationship for nearly 30 years, I can't tell you how many times people have said to us, it can't get any worse. And we say, stop. Because every time you speak that word, it gets worse.
Yeah.
You know? So we just, you say, come Holy Spirit. We don't know what's going to happen. John chapter 14, verse 26. Again, if you have the hardcover Bible, or if you have the scroll that you carry with you, or should I say scrolls, because they're all different. Some books of the Bible are several scrolls. Or if you have the newfangled on your device. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is talking. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Mm-hmm. So this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that Jesus said, I'm sending Holy Spirit to you. And he will, what? First, the Advocate. What is an advocate? An advocate is one who, what?
That's a, he who defends you in court, my bad.
There you go. Yeah, he's an attorney. He speaks. The ad is for vocate. The advocate. He's the one that speaks on our behalf. He's the one that stands before the Father and says, no, this is your child. My blood covers her. My blood covers him. And he is there to represent us.
Hallelujah.
As the advocate.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
This verse. Yeah. Yeah.
Public appointed lawyer, yo.
You know, if we go in there, we're gonna get caught up in perjury. If we try to testify, you know, it wasn't me, it was this woman you gave me. You know, I mean, right there, the very first time that man is confronted by God Almighty, he tries to speak on his own behalf, and look what happened. We're in this crap because of what he said.
Yeah.
All right. So, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you. Holy Spirit is the teacher. It's not me. It's not Don. It's not any of us sitting here, even though I call you mommy teacher. When it comes to this stuff, Holy Spirit is teacher.
Amen.
You know, when the eunuch, it was the eunuch who was up in the chariot, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't understand Isaiah. And who was it? Philip that came in and taught him. It was because the Holy Spirit brought them together.
With such joy.
And remember. With such joy. Exactly. And just when Jesus said to the disciples that the Holy Spirit would guide them and remind them into everything that he taught them while he was with them before he ascended. Not only is Holy Spirit the teacher, he's the reminder. He's the one that comes and says, you know, I told you about this before. You already know this. How many times have you been talking with someone and something they say triggers something? I hate that word. You know, it's become pop culture stuff. Everything triggers everybody. But there's something in your mind that comes forward and you're able to share a scripture, a Bible verse, an experience, or something that ties in with what they're talking about. I mean, that happens all the time. He reminds us of all things. He's the advocate. He's the helper. He's the counselor. He is the one we can sit down on the couch, even though Tammy and I go see someone every 2 weeks. Holy Spirit is always there. Dr. Fox isn't always there. But when we go, we talk, and we've had this relationship going on now, how long with her? 6 years? Something like that, every 2 weeks? You know, give or take a week here and there. But it's almost like we've become her counselor a lot of times because of the way the relationship has worked. And a lot of times we'll go in, I'll sit down and say, so how are you doing? You know, or when she'll ask a question, I'll say, don't you try to analyze me. You know, and I'll like she say, okay, we're going to talk now. You know, I've got some questions. Don't you try to, you know, don't change the subject. This is what we're going to talk about today. I asked you a question. But Holy Spirit is a counselor. And we can talk to him, and he will counsel us. He will give us his wisdom. He's the comforter. When we are faced with the death of a loved one, when we are faced with things that we see in the news, terrorist event in Paris overnight, shooting, different things, volcano erupting, well, fissures popping up all over Hawaii, taking people's homes and cars and everything. If you've seen that, those images coming up from Hawaii, Tammy said, well, what do you expect when you build your house on a volcano? He's the comforter. He's always there. Even though, you know, we may be miles away from friends and other, you know, other family, he can still comfort us. He's the friend. That's how Jesus can stick closer than a brother to us, because he's our friend and he's our healer.
Hallelujah.
He is our healer.
It's all good.
And it's not just that, remember, it's not just that physical healing. It's not just what you're going through physically, but everything, Shane, that happens to you physically, everything you're going through that causes effects emotionally and mental capacity, he heals that too.
Hallelujah.
As he heals the body, as you're going through an illness, there are so many, you know, you become down. The illness affects the emotion, and it just affects the entire person. But God wants to heal us body, soul, mind, the entire person. That's how much he cares about us. It's not just your back is healed, move on. Well, what have those things, what is your back being injured? What has, you know, the having to be so close to medical devices? You know, thinking of Elena, who has to go through all of the treatments and the medication, everything that she goes through. How does that affect her spiritually? Mentally, God wants to heal her completely. And I thank God she's got a great head on her shoulders. She's a smart kid. Well, smart woman. But I always think of her as, you know, you're a mommy teacher. I still think of you as toe socks. Private. And even though we know that he's for us, the Holy Spirit is for us, even though we know that he's cheering us on, even when we're being reprimanded, you know, because Holy Spirit is also the one who brings the word that convicts us, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then he guides us into truth. But he's cheering us on. He's a cheerleader. He's standing there right next to you with your first initial on the sweater that he's wearing. And he's got the pom-poms and he's got the megaphone. And he's just cheering you on because he cares about you. He knows that he's put in you everything that you need. Every single one of us. A life of godliness and holiness to live for him. In John 21, verse 18 and 19. This is a hard couple of verses to read. John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. Jesus talking to Peter. Very truly, this is the truth. I'm telling you. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." When we hear that word, it may not be that it's the death that we're going to die like Peter did, historically crucified upside down. It doesn't mean that for us, but it means the kind of death we're going to die as we follow him, where we take up our cross, we deny ourselves, and we follow him. We reckon ourselves dead because we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer we who live, but he lives in us. When we are older, someone else will dress us and lead us to where we do not want to go. That's the idea that people think of when they say getting out of the comfort zone. But because Holy Spirit is comforter, I believe he wants to flip our thinking and understand that when we are in him, no matter the outside forces, we find comfort in him. This dichotomy, we still carry around the sin nature. We wrestle against the flesh. We don't want to move forward. We want to stay in the shadows. We don't want to let him in. We don't want to let the Holy Spirit in, but we step out and we find comfort in him. Angie, stepping out to go to the prison, to see powerful, powerful Holy Spirit moments taking place with these women. You stepped out. That took some courage. It took some guts to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I really believe God is calling me, and I'm going to step out. And maybe if I fall flat on my face, oh well, I tried. But guess what? God's moving.
Right.
It's good stuff. Follow me. The more we trust him, the more obedient to his way we can become. If we trust him, the more we trust, the more we obey, the more we obey, the more we trust. We learn. It's okay. You know, when you find a stray dog. You know, I see those commercials on TV with the animals, you know, and you know, Leanne, if she were here, it's like, I can't watch those, you know. Cammy doesn't, you know, in the arms of the angels. When Sarah McLachlan comes on singing that song and you see the kittens and the puppies and the dogs that have been abandoned, left alone, abused, tied up and, you know, not fed, and they're just shaking. But when you come to those animals, When you get a feral cat, a feral kitten, and he hisses and he spits and he scratches at you, and you say, no, that's not going to happen. Come here. And someone telling me, no, Mr. Fleas will always be a feral cat. You cannot make a feral cat a house cat. It doesn't happen. Guess what? Woman didn't know what the heck she was talking about, because he is now a lap kitty. He's a lap cat. He's a lover. The other one hides. when mom comes around, when Pastor Don's been over. I don't know why our cats love you.
Because he doesn't like cats.
Lord knows the neighbors are from
home.
Do they know when you don't like animals?
That's the truth. When you don't like animals, you know, certain animals, or you don't, you know, you're allergic to them, and you go to someone's house, you're the one they go to. It's like, ha ha ha. Guess what? I'm going to make your eyes swell up and make you cry. So, anyway, the Holy Spirit, the more we trust Him, the more we obedient to His way we become. Holy Spirit shows us a new pattern, a new paradigm, a new paradigm. Paradigm. He shows us a new way of doing things. It's different than the old ways. You know, Romans chapter 12, you know, transform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. There's new, sometimes, you know, like in certain aspects of craftsmanship, working. I mean, Larry could probably attest to working with your hands. Certain jobs you're doing, those old ways are the best ways. God doesn't want us to get rid of those. But there are new things, maybe new techniques, new tools that help make the job faster. And sometimes we have to say, you know what, I'm going to use that. I would much rather cut grass with a modern-day lawnmower than be out there with the old-time push-reel mower, okay, especially when there's acres and acres to cut. I would much rather be out there with a chainsaw on a pole, an extension pole, gas-powered, to limb up branches, to prune, rather than be out there either climbing up, standing on a ladder, or using a pole saw. It's so much easier. You can get so much more done. He shows us in a new way of doing things. Teach the old dog new tricks. That's what he does. We're going to get close to ending up here. In a couple of minutes, well, probably about 10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. After Paul goes through the list of sins, then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In Minnesota, they can say, all right, we're going to get rid of In God We Trust on all of our state buildings. That's what's before the legislature. Okay, that's fine. But there's no law that says we can't love people. There's no law that we can't say, In God We Trust. Take it off the state buildings, that's fine. It's just a sign of things to come. But there's no law against any of these things, against love, joy, peace, patience.
Mm-hmm. Even if they make one, good luck enforcing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. You know, we don't have to obey these, you know, some kind of an unjust law. You know, you can stand up and make a statement. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. There you go. Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now, in the pamphlet for this week on Come Holy Spirit, they don't include verse 26. And I thought that was a very important verse that ties up what Paul is saying to the Galatians. He tells them what the fruit of the Spirit is. In the pamphlet, it says fruits. Well, fruit here is already, it's plural, but it's still singular. English majors know what that really is. What does that refer to? Because the fruit of the Spirit is actually, since we're grafted into one vine, it's all one, and it's different aspects of the same fruit. It's like when they make the tangerine, you know, the tangelos, and there's like certain fruits where they've melded them together, yeah. They crossbreed. That's this. It's one fruit that comes from us, that comes from the Holy Spirit. So, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. But as we see this fruit happening in ourselves, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Hey, brother, you're not showing love. Hey, sister, you're not being very patient. Look how patient I am. Remember, pride comes before a fall. We don't provoke one another. We don't envy one another. We lift one another up. We suffer with each other and we rejoice with each other. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're supposed to do. And I don't think we're guilty of provoking and envying one another. I just bring that up to say as new folks come in, we demonstrate that to them. Right? I mean, this is who we are. Learning to hear his voice and learning to follow him doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't necessarily begin in our most dire moment of need. Okay? All right, you know, Lord, everything is, you know, all hell has broken loose. I'm going to follow you now. That's not where it happens. Yeah, he is there, and we follow him there. But the book of Acts is replete. I use that word. I said replete. That's a small but big word. The book of Acts is replete with amazing accounts of the miraculous. There are stories of Jesus in the Gospels, and they're just as well. Consider the period of time which passed from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 through to the very end of that book. It was about 32 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a relatively short book. You know, when you think about it, you can read it in a short period of time. If you start, you just read through it. But 32 years for all those miracles. And I'm sure there were others that took place. But was it really on a daily daily basis that those kinds, that Paul was reaching into a fire and being bitten by a snake, a poisonous asp, you know, was it an everyday occurrence? Or did it just kind of come around here and there every so often in people's lives? 32 years. Jesus did a lot in 3. More will we do, Jesus said. More will you do in my name. Daily people were being added to the number in the church. But were these great, humongous miracles taking place every single day over 32 years? I don't know. Did the Holy Spirit come and heal everybody? Mm-hmm. We see that with Jesus, there were some people who weren't healed. You know, because of their lack of faith. Which we don't hold that over anybody. They weren't willing to let go of some things in their life, so they didn't receive what it was they were looking for from God. We move forward. We move forward and we do our best to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, this week, I was working by myself. And as I was reading through the pamphlet, there was one spot towards the, I think it was on the second page, and it talked about helping someone or praying for others. And it's like, first we pray for ourselves, and you know, it's like, talk to God about yourself before you talk about God with others. I can't remember that little saying. But I thought of this idea came to mind. And it's about helping ourselves before we help others. Which may sound selfish, but it's really not. If we spend time in the presence of Holy Spirit, breathing in Him, remember, He's a spirit, the Ruach, the breath of life in us. In the unlikely event of a loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will drop down from the overhead panels. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask towards you, place the mask over your nose and mouth, and slip the elastic band over your head. Tighten by pulling the straps and breathe normally. If the bag does not inflate, please do not worry, as oxygen shall be flowing through the mask. Parents traveling with younger children should first secure their own mask, and then their child's mask. You may remove the mask when indicated by a uniformed crew member. Mm-hmm. What happens if you don't follow that rule? few weeks ago when the tragedy occurred on that Southwest flight, when the engine blew apart and it came through the window, killing that woman and hurting a few others, there was a sudden loss of cabin pressure. It just, and they're at an altitude where oxygen is quite lacking. The air is real thin up there, and you can black out quickly. So all the oxygen masks, there's a few pictures that you can see on Twitter and elsewhere online of passengers who have the masks on, but they're not wearing them properly. They've got them over their mouth. So if they're breathing through their mouth a little bit, that's fine. But how many are going to remember that? They're going to breathe through their nose, and the next thing you know, they're going to be out. So first of all, you got to do it right. But to take care of yourself first, before you take care of others. I've seen it before, heard other spiels where they talk about those who may be elderly, those who are having trouble. You know, you look around in the row that you're seated in, and if somebody is just freaking out or just having trouble or they're unable to for whatever reason, you put yours on first and then you help them. So we need to be in prayer. We really do. Whatever it is we're doing, when we're driving, when we're at home, when, you know, in the shower, doing the mundane things. That's how we learn to listen to them. That's how we learn to follow in the mundane things of life. Mm-hmm. You know, Mother's Day. You know, while the poor husband is out there struggling to climb a ladder two stories up and get that icky, gooey, leafy, muddy, gunky dirt on his hands in order to make sure that the house is safe for his family. The mother had gone through her life with the children doing so many mundane tasks. So many mundane tasks. Like telling the children to shut up while mommy's taking a nap. Oh, I'm glad you're not carrying like a real Bible. Those old heavy ones. But you know, doing the mundane things. Cooking breakfast for the family. Even if it's just pouring cereal into a bowl and saying the milk's right there, you know, the changing of the diapers, I'm sure that's like exciting. And, you know, every 2 minutes, you know, projectile issues in Dairy Queen. I'm sure that's exciting. Yeah. Yeah, that was a great day. Shut up. Yeah, it happened upon Anna and
Christina.
The Dairy Queen down on Warwick one day. We decided to go in, and they were sitting there with the boys, and they'd been outside playing, and it was a pretty hot day. And you know, sometimes very hot days and certain types of treats at Dairy Queen don't go well together. And somebody had a little bit of an issue.
They were racing their milkshakes.
Oh.
And then before I could say slow down, Nicholas went like that.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, it was like distance, Olympic competition going on. And so I stayed there.
The mundane.
Yeah.
There you go.
The mundane stuff while mom cleans up the boy, and Christina help. And we're there with Tristan. Playing, you know, video games over the phone. But in those mundane things of life, Father, we thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit, who is the fullness of God in that spiritual dimension. Who guides us into all truth, who is the one who speaks the words of Christ, the one who teaches us to recognize his voice. Could our ears be open could our hearts be softened? Could we recognize your voice in those mundane tasks? Could we recognize you in the routine, the rut, doing the things that are necessary? Could we see you when we're doing the laundry, doing the shopping, when we're working on the house or the car? Holy Spirit, would you show yourself to us in the mundane? You give us so many opportunities in one day to see you, to become more aware of your presence. For me, that image of being on the plane and the oxygen masks coming down and taking care of ourselves before we seek to take care of someone else. Those of us who cannot say no, would you give us that strength to make sure that we're allowing you to care for us and that we're caring for ourselves before we reach out to help someone else? That's not selfish. Help us to find our strength in you. Help us to breathe you in. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for this place, this more intimate setting, in this familiarity that we have, in this family that we have in this place, the family that you've built and that you are building. Lord, those of us who aren't here today, we just pray a blessing upon them, that you, Holy Spirit, would meet them where they are, that they would see the good in a situation, that they would trust in you. So like I said last time, Tammy and I are fans of The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. I don't know if any of you have watched that or you see it. But now Fear the Walking Dead is on. Their season started a few weeks ago. And one of the lead characters, Nick, was having some trouble. He was a heroin addict. And throughout the first couple of seasons, he was looking for OxyContin and any kind of derivative from the poppies, you know, looking for any kind of narcotic to satisfy his need. And you know, he would get clean and then go back, get clean and then go back, and then he was stealing the pills from patients who really needed it so that he could get a fix. But he was going through a real rough period, and they found this place where they could hole up for a while, where it was safe from the walkers, it was safe from the undead. And he was fearful of going out anymore. He didn't want to go on the runs to find food or medical supplies. You know, he wasn't doing the drugs anymore. He wasn't doing that. And he asked his mom, he's like, "Mom, how do you do it?" When he finally came to a place where he could go out again, he said, "Mom, how do you do it? How are you able to go out here and do this stuff and deal with these people who are trying to kill us and deal with the zombies and deal with, you know, all this other stuff of life?" And she said, "You know, Nick, I try to find something good every day, to look for one good thing every day." And that stuck with him. And he was separated from the group And there's an image that's popular on the show that's kind of a like an Easter egg or something that ties both programs together. And he saw in this field where he was laying that he got attacked by a couple of walkers, and he, you know, put him down the way you're supposed to put down a walker. It's good education for y'all for the apocalypse. But he looked over, and there were these bluebell flowers, just a small patch. And he just stopped and stared at them. And he understood what his mother was talking about. He found something good in the midst of all that was going on around him. Just this small patch of flowers. Then he saw a field. And then there was a point in the program where he was lying back in a whole field, just thinking about these flowers. I don't think it was an actual field, that he was just seeing them in his mind's eye. So I want to encourage you, every day, let's try to see something good in that day. Just one thing. And say, God, thank you for that. That's how we become more aware of his presence. So, anyway. That's y'all.
Thank you, Keith.
Oh, thank you.